You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
On the Taxi Stand Hour.
Over.
On Radio TFI.
Guess what? It's that time again. Excuse me. Stop eating frogs before I start the show. Well, here we are again, listening to the Taxi Stand Hour on Blog Talk Radio. Whoa, I knew it'd be a long time. I'd do that before too long. On RadioTFI.com. I'm John Shannon. I think I need to have Ed come in here quick to bail me out.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I knew it was going to be a matter of time before I'd go back to old habits.
Well, now I feel like I feel that I can just go back to bed right now. It's all on you. I want no part of this.
No, you don't.
I'm getting off this sinking ship.
Oh,
we're taking on water early this week.
The rats are jumping ship.
Oh, the rats aren't even waiting. Good morning, young man.
Good morning, sir.
How are you?
Oh, well, I can't complain too loud, I guess.
Well, you could, but as the old saying goes, who's going to listen?
I'm highly frustrated. We'll take you backstage for a minute, but since day one with this, I have had an issue with hearing about a half-second delay, and I hear myself in my headphones, and it is with somebody with my concentration level, that is a huge problem. And I've invested way too much money trying to fix it. But there's my complaint.
Okay, y'all done with that?
Well,
you feel better, Bubby?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I'll feel better when one day, by miracle, this will all correct itself.
I think the key word there is miracle. But again, remember, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, kids of all ages, this is Big Time Professional Radio.
It is Big Time Professional Radio, exactly.
It seems to me, from what I've seen in the news, there seems to be a whole heck of a lot going on in the Twin Cities area this week, just in general.
There really is.
Wasn't there a big fire? Or
there was an explosion.
That's...
Workers tapped into a gas line, basically. And, oh, I tell you, they blew a huge hole basically in the middle of that campus.
Was that the University of Minnesota campus?
No. It's a private high school.
Oh, okay. I don't really know the area that well. I know the campus only because I stayed on a hotel. I stayed at a hotel on the campus once.
Huh.
20 some odd years ago.
Well, this is a big school, and it has actually two different campuses within about a mile of each other. But yeah, it's called Minnehaha Academy. It was a teacher and a maintenance man that wound up perishing in that. And definitely sad.
No, it's too bad.
Oh, what the hell else happened?
Yeah, you had a couple of things in your area. While here in South Florida, things have been very boring, just the way we like them. If nothing's going on, that's a good thing. If the weather doesn't have a name, it's an excellent thing.
Absolutely. Oh, there was one other story I posted, and I guess we can lead off with this because I'm going to have a little bit of a rant about this as it is. So, Minneapolis Airport. Oh my God, that is. Hold on just a second here.
All right. Minneapolis St. Paul Airport is a fine institution with runways and airplanes and buildings and all sorts of things. Ladies and gentlemen, this is called vamping and attempting to fill time and stay on topic. Now, as far
Thank you,
as,
sir.
You're entirely welcome.
Okay, well, anyways, Minneapolis St. Paul Airport is planning on changing the way drivers out there, cab drivers out there, accept credit cards. Now, a lot of them are using Square. As a matter of fact, it's our company is actually starting that process using Square through the company.
It is very easy. I use it every day.
Very easy, inexpensive to process
yes.
cards.
Yes.
So anyway, several hundred taxi cab drivers in the Minneapolis St. Paul that work the Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport are upset about new rules overseeing the way credit card payments are processed for taxi rides. The requirements are part of a new regulatory framework adopted by the Metropolitan Airports Commission last year as an upstart ride-sharing services such as Uber and Lyft has grown increasingly popular with travelers at MSP. The MAC, as it's called, is now requiring taxi companies to mount a credit card reader on the back of every cab, which the commission claims is a more secure method of payment. Now this, excuse me, this particular new setup, the credit card retailers, the people that they go through to do this, charge 7% fee for each transaction, plus a $25 a month subscription fee, basically.
Right, but I'm going to jump in. But I imagine they provide the equipment, provide the installation, and the maintenance, and all that.
Well, it doesn't say that in
yeah, they would have
here,
to.
So
they would have to
require a 3-year contract as well. I don't understand why that's necessary. You can buy
right.
a Square chip reader for $50.
You can get the good one for $50. You can get the basic one for free.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. But I understand where people are wanting to go to more advanced security measures by using chip cards.
I
get that.
Would you like to know the reason why the airport doesn't want to use that?
Why?
Because you have drivers who will say, oh, I lost my reader. Oh, my reader's not working. Oh, I don't have it. Oh, my phone won't connect.
Hmm. Well, that's a very valid point.
That is why they want readers, credit card readers, excuse me, installed in the cars, mounted permanently, if you will, right there in the back seat in front of the customers, where the drivers don't have to do a thing with it, really. The way things are set up now, you do use it's a touch screen and it's very, very user friendly for all parties involved. And
yeah,
and but the single biggest thing will be, and I base this on my knowledge of the company here, the Yellow Cab that I was with for years. If drivers owe the company money, any credit card money that's owed to the driver, it gets applied to the balance first.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And that's where drivers want to run. Those are the guys that don't want to use credit cards. They don't want to accept them, I should say. Look, if you're out there doing your thing and just, you know, you understand that this is the best thing for business. I was thrilled when we started accepting credit cards. If you're one of these short-sighted nitwits, who, by the way, I'm pretty sure no one is forcing them to work the airport.
Well, yeah, this is true, but
on
this
the
is where
go ahead.
Go ahead.
On the other hand, you have lots of people on the street want to use credit cards as well. You know, and it's time to suck it up, Buttercup. If they don't want to have the credit card things in their car, then go sell hot dogs somewhere or something. I have no sympathy for people like that.
This is
the technology. This is where things are going. This is how people prefer to pay. Okay? And especially for business travelers, it is ideal for them because there's no more receipts. It all goes directly to the expense account. Boom. Period. Done. You're getting paid the same. You got to look at it this as my experience has been since we started accepting credit cards, the ride started getting longer. You know?
Yeah, you're right.
People would just push the 20% tip button. You know, look, in our case here, we give up a dollar a holler on the rides. That's what the company just made it a flat dollar, and some they lose on, some they make on. It all works out in the end. So I'm willing to give up a buck on a $50 fare. Because that's...
Well, it's just the cost of doing business.
Exactly. Exactly. Boy, you do have
no
your moments.
No different than the gas or anything else you do.
I love it when you have a lucid moment. They're not often, but I really enjoy it.
Well, enjoy it while it lasts.
I certainly understand.
But
what else is going on out in your neck of the woods?
My goodness, you know, I'm sure there's probably something, but whatever it is, I just can't put my finger on it.
Well, in that case, let's do our weekly begging to get people to call. What do you say?
I think that's a great idea.
You start.
You tell them the number today, boss.
Oh, I'll tell them the number. Oh, I'll tell them the number. Before I tell them the number, I just want to... We discussed this off air last night. I realized last night the mooch was gone since we've been on the air. We didn't get a chance to talk about the mooch at all, and I'm very, very disappointed about that.
forgive me if I'm kind of bored with that story.
I know, but you know, he was just rich with possibility. This guy was, you know, the best description I heard of him when he came on board was that the West Wing now looked like a road company production of Goodfellas.
Oh,
he was the Joe Pesci character.
Before you give out the number, that reminds me of something.
Okay, yeah, let's tease the audience. We won't give them the number right away. Go ahead.
You know, folks, if you listen to this and you don't know this number by now, I would suggest seeing a therapist. our illustrious president, who is now, by the way, embarked in a vacation that he said he would never take, you know, a nice long, what, 15-day vacation?
17.
17 days.
Now, hold on, to be fair, there is some actual renovation work going on at the White House. They've cleared out most of the West Wing to do the work. That being said, however, I'm pretty sure with technology, they can get things done and not actually have to be at the White House.
Well, we'll never know about that.
Well.
But, no, did you hear him say that the White House was a dump?
I heard that he said it, yes.
I had to kind of agree with him, actually, because, you know, they started moving trash in
January.
Mid-January there.
I can see where you're going with that. You worked a long time on that one, didn't you?
You know, I was waiting to lay that one on you.
I'm sorry I didn't react the way you would have liked, but that now that seems like the perfect opportunity. 720-820-1203 in New Jersey. That number is Bigelow 5. No, area code 720-820-1203. Join the conversation. Save us from each other. Save us from ourselves. We'd love to hear from you, who's ever on out there. You got something to say, we want to hear it. We'll talk about just about anything. Anything, because we're boring.
Do you have the number for the London cab drivers, by chance?
Somewhere.
I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, you have it in front of you. I know you know it by heart, so there you go.
You're right, I do.
Did you say you have it or you don't?
No, I do not have it.
Well, you London kids, you go to the website and it's all right there on the first page, including the access code. And
RadioTFI.com.
That's,
or download the app.
Well, go to your app store, whether it's your iOS or Android. Just type in radio space TFI, and lo and behold, you will see the glorious Radio TFI logo. And give us a listen. Well, you're already listening, so that just makes it easier to listen on the go.
Exactly.
As some friends of mine have pointed out, it's a pretty crappy app, and they're right. It is a pretty crappy app. All you can do is listen to what's live. You can't pick out on demand or anything like that. But you can also go to the website on your phone and do that. So, look,
the website works really well on phone.
Yes.
It's designed kind of for mobile access. At least it seems like it.
I know the webmaster. He's a hell of a guy.
Yeah.
He's a hell of a guy who hasn't got the time.
I think he should be getting paid more than he is.
Though. You're not kidding, pal. You're not kidding.
One other non-taxi related story here that caught my eye. I didn't actually read the story. But I just caught this. Just caught my eye. Big Pharma, or as he called himself, Pharma Bro.
Oh, Shkreli.
And I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last
Martin
name.
Martin Shkreli.
Is that how it is?
That is correct.
He is found guilty on 3 of the 8 counts that were against him for gouging. What drugs was he putting out again? I forget. Do you remember?
The big one was it was an AIDS related drug, and when he took control of the company that manufactured this drug, he upped the price by a factor of 5,000. It was relatively affordable, and then he got his hands on it and jacked it up to a ridiculous height, and that's where he also purchased. If you're familiar with the band, the Wu-Tang Clan.
No.
Yeah, I know of them. I don't really know their music. Excuse me, but they produced an album, and only made one copy. It was sold at auction. And it was bought by Pharma Boy here, Martin Shkreli. God. The band was irate about it. But he paid the most money, and supposedly he's the only person to ever hear the album. So,
yeah. But he just came off as being real cocky about this thing.
That's because he is real cocky.
Yeah.
He is real cocky. There's no question about it.
Did you hear if he's going to do any time on this, or probably not?
I don't know. I didn't. I imagine his lawyers are going to try to whittle it down. But you know, this guy's got real bad PR, and I can't imagine him sitting in that courtroom and him making pals with the judge just by his body language. I can imagine. He strikes me just, I've only ever seen photographs of him, never seen him live in person. Just strikes me as the type of person, he's going to look at you and think that you're just not worth his time. And he must turn off so many people. It's, anyway, you get where I'm going with that.
Yeah, I hope that other people learn from this. You know, this is ripping off the public that blatantly, especially with something like with basic drugs, that is a very sore subject these days when it comes, especially in the light of all the chaos over healthcare these days.
Well, and this goes back before all the chaos over healthcare. Keep in mind, you've got people. Look, we've made great strides. Not me personally. But great strides have been made in in AIDS treatment, people are living a longer, healthier life thanks to some of these pharmaceuticals. And yes, everybody understands that there's research and there's, you know, there are expenses with creating these drugs. And I don't think anybody's ever said pharmaceutical companies shouldn't be entitled to make a profit on what they do. That being said,
no, absolutely not.
That being said, this kind of douchebag just shines a bright light on how easy it is for one person to take control of other people's lives. How many people have died because they now couldn't afford the whatever it was, $10,000 a dose or whatever the final number wound up being of this particular drug, and how much grief and heartache in households all across this great land of ours did this stupid son of a bitch, out of pure greed, and there was no other reason other than that he could raise the price. That's the only reason he did. He saw he had a product that people desperately needed, and
yeah.
So people like that, these are the people that drive down the road and drive like idiots. They're never involved in an accident themselves, but they never look behind them and see the carnage that they've left for people trying to get out of their way. And okay,
oh, yes.
Ed's ranted.
Yeah, well, and as well you should. Because if that kind of stuff was allowed to carry on, it would only be a matter of time before nobody could afford their medicines.
Right, right. You know, so. And before you know it, we'd all be counting on the mooch. I miss the fact that I didn't get a shot with the mooch.
Oh,
man, that hurts.
Sorry.
No, it's this guy was just this was teeing up, man. This guy was teed up and ready to go. This was going to be months and years of laughs. Probably more months, but boy, oh boy, Mooch, we hardly knew ye.
So, speaking of pharmaceuticals and medical-related things,
yes,
I just saw a report on CNBC,
mm-hmm.
that says Lyft is driving patients to see their doctors and saving insurers big money.
Right.
Lyft is already saving money for health plans by providing cheaper and more reliable non-emergency transportation for patients. Uber also wants a piece of this $6 billion business. This one hits hard.
Yep.
Now, this is the insurer that's using this right now is called CareMore, and I guess they're based out of Southern California somewhere. And I tell you, what has kept us in a lot of cab companies in Minnesota has kept them afloat through this disaster with Uber and Lyft coming into town. And if they go after that, it's all, I hate to say it, but up here it's all over but the crying.
Yep, pretty much.
I will say this, and we'll have to keep an eye on Minnesota to see how they act on this, but one of the reasons why we're probably one of the closest regulated cab industries in the country is because the state required drivers or all companies who handle these patients to have certain standards. And these standards go well beyond what Uber and Lyft have been willing to go through and just to facilitate the rides they're getting.
Right.
I mean, I've said it before, fingerprints,
mm-hmm.
Background check, drug testing, subjecting yourself to random drug testing.
And it all goes out the window because Uber and Lyft will do it cheaper.
Yeah, that I tell you something, that will be something you want to see somebody raising some hell over the media.
This is where it's going to come home to roost. Is this is an area that it will show the hypocrisy of our regulators who have allowed this to go on, because now you're getting into all these kind of rides where they have made such a fuss about having cab drivers be trained in, as you said, trained in all CPR, sensitivity training, how to load and unload a wheelchair, which none of it is bad. None of it is bad, but you make it a condition of the contract for the taxi companies, and now you're going to turn around. Well, we'll see. We'll see. You're going to turn around and say, look, we will gladly let these uninsured, untrained, we don't know who the hell they are, people, pick up our folks and transport them back and forth because we can save some money. It's cheaper. Well, okay, have at it, and let the games begin.
These rides are funded basically through the Department of Human Services in different ways.
Taxpayer money.
Exactly.
Taxpayer money.
It's their requirements. It isn't the insurers. I'm sure the insurers wanted to have that, but this was done by the state.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it's going to boil down to you've made these requirements, and now you're saying it's okay not to. And that's where the lawsuits are really going to come piling in.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you've got cab companies that invested time, resources, and money into getting their drivers up to snuff and taking the rides at a discounted rate on top of it.
Well, yeah, these rates are not full meter by any stretch of imagination.
And then with all that, you're going to turn around and say, well, we'll just give it to this bunch of losers over here who they tell us that they're okay, so that's good enough for us. These regulators, if nothing else, it will show what a bunch of scummy losers most of them are. And that I include most regulators, pretty much these days, any elected official. They're all out for their own. They're not out for the people. They're certainly not out for us in the transportation industry. And,
absolutely not.
Speaking of the transportation industry, I'm going to shift gears here just because it popped into my head. Our friends over in London. I'm sure you saw the video of the compliance agents telling the one black cab driver, you can't have this newspaper in the back.
Oh, I saw that, yes.
Now, for those of you not familiar, what the newspaper said, it was an industry newspaper, and the front page was basically, said an Uber driver was given 12 years in prison for rape. So what black cab drivers had been doing was leaving these newspapers on their back seats. A compliance officer who can oversee them, I'm not really sure what their specific duties are. In this case, it was two young ladies, and the blonde was really, really attractive. That being said, because apparently Uber falls under TfL, Transport for London, just like the black cabs. These young ladies were trying to make the case that it's not fair to have anything that gives Uber bad light in the black cab. And as the driver said, what can I tell you, lady? Somebody left it in the back seat. And now it's turned into a thing where if you look on Twitter, and again, we follow a whole mess of drivers from over there, and there's just a lot of pictures of guys with 2, 3, 4 copies in their back windows, and good for them. And again, another classic case of, we're going to over-regulate the living daylights out of you, and we're going to protect Uber as best we can. If that doesn't show... But again, bravo to our friends over there in London. For for, as always, taking a stand, taking a real stand, and getting on. They get the message out there into the media. Here we are sitting in the U.S. talking about it, and again, demonstrating just how idiotic this whole thing has become. That outlaw companies are allowed to run rampant simply because they paid off the right people. And anybody who doesn't believe corruption is at the core of all this, well, you're certainly not involved in the business and don't care one way or the other. Enjoy your cheap ride to the bar.
Just got your head in the sand.
Yeah. Well, or enjoy your cheap ride to the bar. You know.
Yeah, there you go.
You can afford to spend $100 drinking all night, but you can't throw your driver a dollar. You know, on the $4 ride home. Good for you. Good for you. You know, I don't carry cash. Baloney. My ass. The only people that don't carry cash are four-year-olds. And even they've got credit cards.
Yeah.
That's rant number two.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know who's not putting up with all this?
Tell me.
Mexico City.
Really? This is news to me.
I saw a video. I thought I posted it.
You did. I know exactly what you're talking about now. Go ahead.
Yeah. Uber vehicles are getting windows busted out of them. Drivers are getting drug out of the cars.
Actually, I
saw... Put it over there.
The video that I saw, I know what you're referring to. I think that's actually old video. I remember, I distinctly remember seeing that video a couple of years ago. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I wasn't wrong. No. I just wasn't right. But you know, there is a difference. Well, look, Mexico doesn't have time for this. Our president's got the president of Mexico on the phone. Pretend.
No, but they're not putting up with it. And I've said this before. I don't want to see this come to violence. But let me tell you something. Desperate people are capable of desperate acts.
Mm-hmm.
And you have people who have been feeding their families, doing an honest job, operating a taxi cab, and then all of a sudden, here comes Uber. And I can only imagine that the taxi regulations in Mexico City aren't all that stringent. But
well,
You
don't know that.
Well,
that's a big metropolitan city. It's a cosmopolitan.
Well,
city.
You got a point there. But anyways, the level of regulation regarding Uber is definitely lower than it would be for taxi cabs.
Oh, there's no question. That holds true everywhere Uber is, with the exception of New York City, Columbus, Ohio, Houston, Texas. Except for those three cities. Mm-hmm. You're right. Look, Uber has come in and negatively affected many, many lives.
Yes.
And many people are at their wit's end right now. Many people are trapped in a corner right now and don't know what to do.
Well, like I said, you know, desperation.
Mm-hmm. That's...
I don't remember. I wasn't there, but I've seen the reports out in Vegas. As a matter of fact, on your little photo collage that you put together for our banner... on Twitter on Facebook too.
I use the Vegas.
One of the cabs is a Nellis cab out of Las Vegas.
Right.
And it wasn't all that long ago when Nellis cab come into the market in Las Vegas, and they dealt with some vandalism issues, and drivers were assaulted and what have you.
And they were operating illegally.
Yeah, they were operating illegally. Exactly.
Hmm.
Desperate. People get desperate. You know, the thing is you get used to a standard of living. And nobody, I don't care in any situation, is getting rich off the taxi industry. Maybe the cab owners, some of them.
Not your drivers.
But not the drivers are definitely not getting rich off.
But they've been able to provide for themselves and their families.
Yes. As long as they're smart with their money and,
well, right.
And don't go out and buy a steak dinner every night after work like I used to when I was driving out there.
Yeah.
You could make a decent living off of it and take care of your family and what have you. You know, not anymore. If you don't have a plan B and C, you have absolutely no chance.
You want to? Yeah, let's talk about my situation, where I currently am.
Okay.
Let's really illustrate what's gone on here. And my situation is somewhat unique, but not exactly. So, for those of you tuning in late, I used to own and operate 12 taxis. I had them for years and years and years, about 12, 13 years. As Uber showed up, I started losing drivers. I went from 12 to 10 to 9, all the way down to this past January when I was down to 3 operating cars and finally left the cab company. So now in the meantime, and in the course of operating my business, of course, I incurred debt. Any business will. But I had the revenue coming in to pay things down. You know, I'd use a credit card to buy an engine and then, you know, pay it down in a month or two to keep everything flowing, keep everything afloat. Well, as I started losing cars, I started having to rob from Peter to pay Paul.
Mm-hmm.
The cash would come in. That would have to go out to the vendors locally so I could keep getting parts and what I needed from them. I was paying more and more of my bills on credit cards. We have now... So, you know, again, this was all business-related. So now here I am, first week of August. I am tapped out, maxed out on all my credit cards. My credit score has dropped into the low, to the mid-500s. I have no credit at the moment. I'm being evicted from my apartment. I owe money to vendors, left, right, and center. I currently cannot go any place to get my vehicles repaired. My vehicle repaired. Because I simply, you know, every dollar that's come in has gone out to pay down another bill. I've been trying to rescue my credit. I don't want to file bankruptcy. I've done that before. If I file bankruptcy, I'll be 65 years old before I can even consider working on my credit. And so my story may be a little bit extreme because I owned a bunch of vehicles. But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is for real. Real lives are being impacted here. I am literally at a point now where I'm not really sure what my future holds here in the next couple of weeks. My landlord wants me out, and I don't blame him. Well, they were going to renovate my apartment anyway. They gave me 4 months' notice, but I have, you know, fortunately, I'll have a roof over my head. I know that. Whether or not I'll have my own place is still questionable right now. I have tried to, I've spoken to everybody I know that can help me with a consolidation loan so I can pay everything down and build my credit back up and start my life fresh again. This is not like I said, I filed bankruptcy about 17 years ago. And then it was all me. I just overspent on my credit cards. I was a nitwit. You know, I just had a ball. This time, it's not like I went out to Vegas and pissed it all away. This was all business related. And I'm not looking for charity from anybody. I need some cash help, but that's neither here nor there. But this is just to stress how big of an effect this Uber thing has had. And I know there are other people that are in worse shape than I am.
Well, at least you still have a roof over your head. You're not having to sleep in your car.
No, not yet. Not yet. When I spoke to my landlord the other day, I hadn't had that offer yet from a friend of mine. So that's what I told him. I said, look, when I leave here, I'm probably sleeping in the van, you know. And I've told you off air what the possible solution, and we'll talk about that later. I don't want to get into it on air. But, you know, that I'm just basically sitting waiting on pins and needles right now. There's nothing I can do but wait.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when you kids out there, if you happen to be listening and you think, oh, riding Uber, oh, it's cheaper. It's better than those stinky, smelly cabs. Just remember my story, and just forget that I owned cabs. Just take into account that there's drivers whose income has been cut in half, if not more. And now picture your parents trying to provide for you, you know, at minimum wage, at wages that go way below what people experienced even back in the 50s, and when things were a lot cheaper. You know,
I wonder if people know who get in these things. I don't think they really give a damn. But they just assume that Uber drivers, taxi drivers, are just all employees. They get paid their wage. And
I honestly, from my experience, has been I think most people understand that Uber and Lyft drivers are not employees. But there's still that misconception about taxi drivers.
Yeah.
Because I was getting that right up till the end of my days at Yellow Cab. You know, well, you work for the company. Well, I don't really work for the company. I will tell you this. I had a gentleman in the van yesterday. And we had a very nice, pleasant conversation. He's a business traveler. He's in town on vacation. And he's very familiar with the situation. Started riding Uber right from the start out in San Francisco, and he said, I met Travis Kalanick, and once I met him, I never wanted anything to do with this company again. But he said exactly how I describe it to people. He said, I travel a lot, and there's a lot to be said for opening up your phone, and there's that one app. He said, and he said it again, exactly the way I describe it. You know, I'm in Minneapolis. Which cab company do I want to use here? And, you know, how many apps do I have on my phone? Geez, you know. And he's not wrong. And this is, number one, where the taxi industry is going to fall flat on their face. Their flat-out refusal to cooperate. Now, I understand there's regulations all over the country and things have to be... But they've had a couple of years to work on this, and they have basically just ignored the problem. I mean, let's face it, for the most part, the people using Uber and Lyft don't care that they're underinsured or not insured, or the background checks don't mean anything. These people do not care. They do not care.
You're right.
So, unless you're going to make it more convenient for them, and I'm not saying cab companies don't have apps. Hell, I've said it before, Yellow Cab here in Broward County. Has a great app. They had a good app before Uber existed. The app was crap with a lousy name, but it was there. Now it's much better. Ride Yellow, if you're looking in your app stores. Ride Yellow. That's Yellow Cab here in Broward County. And open it up and just look at it. Boy, you get information about the cars. It's nice. You can tap on a car in the area around you. You can see that it's a minivan or a sedan or what have you, and I think there's a mechanism in place now where you can request a specific type of vehicle at no extra charge, unlike Uber Lyft, who charges more for a minivan. Thank goodness.
Their minivan costs, at least up here, are more expensive than a standard taxi cab.
Most places, the XL, as Uber calls it, or Plus, as Lyft calls it, are usually comparable to the taxi rates, give or take, you know, 20 cents, 30 cents either side.
Yeah.
But they're usually comparable to taxi rates. And a classic example now, what I do is, because I keep both apps open when I'm using them, I get a call, and I'll keep the other app on in case I get a bigger ride, an XL or a Plus.
Uh-huh.
And then I will, I'll always go to that one and then bail out on the other. And you just let that cancel. You just keep driving, and, you know, they'll cancel it eventually, but you got to go where the money is. As a matter of fact, when you called me for the first time yesterday, that's exactly what I had just done. I had just done that very same thing. But all right, that's rant number three, and boy, oh boy, look at the time.
Jesus.
What else do we want to talk about today?
Quarter to the hour here.
I tell you what. You want to do some housekeeping?
Well, yeah, let's do that.
Let's do some housekeeping. So, okay. Some programming notes. As you all know, I'd like to believe you all know, we have a Monday night edition of the Taxi Stand Hour at 8 p.m., hosted by yours truly. We'd like to have more editions of the Taxi Stand Hour. So, as we've said before, we put out there, if you're interested in hosting your own program, get a hold of us. Ed at RadioTFI.com, John at RadioTFI.com, TaxiStandHour at RadioTFI.com. Hook up with us on Twitter. All of our contact information is on the website, RadioTFI.com. We'd love to have you, and we want to get more and more diverse voices here. That being said, I'm going to be stepping away from the Monday night show for the remainder of the month. I'll be back after Labor Day. We're still going to do the Saturday show. I've just literally got a lot to do, and including moving. So for right now, I need to concentrate on everything else I need to have done. This slot right here is fine. It doesn't really impact my day one way or the other. And most weeks, John's doing most of the heavy lifting. I just get to sit here and make fun of him.
And you do it well.
I do. It's a gift. It is a gift. So as far as the Monday night show goes, we'll be back on September 11th, the week after Labor Day. We may tweak the time, we may tweak the day, because it dawned on me yesterday, heck, that's Monday Night Football starts, so.
You don't want to cut into Monday Night Football?
I do not, unless I'm going to broadcast the game. So we'll have that all sorted out by the time we come back, but we definitely will be back at night in September. There's no question about it. And again, if you're interested in hosting a show, if you'd like to take over the Monday night slot, by all means, contact us. And
you haven't mentioned one thing about this as far as how much you're charging to host your own show.
Oh, I haven't mentioned that?
Radio TFI.
Oh, hang on a second. Let me get the paperwork. It's a sliding scale. It's a sliding scale, really. So it starts at zero and ends at zero.
Yeah.
And your cost would be somewhere in there. Somewhere between $0. I'm sorry, I misread that. Somewhere between 0 cents and $0.
There you go.
So that's what you can expect to pay. Now, what your own personal studio setup would be, I got no control over that. There's going to have to be a microphone involved and a computer and all manner, you know, whatever you need. There are some basic setups, and we'll be happy to, talk you through some of that stuff. But as far as...
Do you understand how much it costs if you want to, what they call, do a broker or go to a brokered radio station where you host your own show, you control your own content and what have you? Per hour, they get... Jesus, when I did that show in Vegas, I was paying for this low wattage AM radio station in Las Vegas, I was paying close to $200 a show.
Really? And how much time did that allot you?
One hour.
So in other words,
what I had to do is I had to go out and score my own sponsors.
Right.
And I was actually able to score my own sponsors and actually make a little profit. Especially after, it was funny, because after 9/11, that was basically the only income I was making in Las Vegas, at least for a few weeks.
So what you're saying is that Radio TFI is asking for none of that.
Exactly.
Huh. So where you were paying $200 for 1 hour a week on a low wattage, on a radio station with about the same wattage as a dim light bulb.
Pretty much.
And a reach of, what, maybe half a mile, 2 miles?
It's funny. You'd be better off actually listening to the online simulcast, because if you got anywhere, I'd say within outside of 10 miles outside of the tower, you were pretty much screwed.
Right. So we're offering a worldwide platform, a global platform, if you will. And how much are we asking for this? How much am I asking for this? You got nothing to do with this. You're just
$0 and 0 cents.
Damn, what a good deal. I may do a show.
Yeah,
that's really should
start.
I was thinking maybe Monday nights. I wonder if there's anything open on Monday nights. I'll have to look into that. So, I mean, again, we've talked about this now for the past few weeks. We'd like to have folks here expressing their own opinions, their own take on things. It doesn't always have to be about Uber and politics. And, you know, if you like old
you
jazz
you want to host
record,
your own radio cooking show.
That's fine by us. I'm okay with that. As far as bringing your own sponsors, we'd have to talk about that because... but anyway, forget that for now. If you're interested, please contact us. It really is no cost to you on our end, again, other than what you need. You have to decide what you need to broadcast, and that's entirely up to you. And bearing in mind, John and I, let alone not being in the same room, we're not even in the same time zone. So it's possible to co-host the show with somebody you've never met. Isn't that right, sir?
Yes, absolutely.
We have never laid eyes on each other.
And for that, I got to say, there is a God.
Yes, there is. I've seen the photos. It's not...
It's not a pretty sight.
It's not a pretty sight. Not at all. So anyway...
And it only gets worse as you go further south.
Ooh, let me tell you. It's... So anyway, yeah, I mean, we'd love to have folks, you know, I really want a diverse lineup here on good old Radio TFI. And just so you all know, I've got a pretty good deal here with the people who run the server. It doesn't cost me a whole heck of a lot, because I'm sure some people have heard me talk a little bit ago about the problems I'm having, and I am having problems, but... The whole radio station thing, monthly, I pay a little bit for... I got a half-price lifetime deal with the server. And I pay a couple dollars a month to have the phone line, such as it is, to have the conference call. It costs me about a dollar a day, okay, to operate the radio station, the actual cost. Now, I've bought equipment, and I bought all my equipment. One of these days, I'll put out a picture of my setup. But everything I bought this a couple, three years ago when I was going to first do Radio TFI in the heat of the whole TNC Uber thing, and I wanted a way for people to get information. I never did it. I had a spare room in my office, and I had a whole thing set up. It never came to fruition until I stumbled across the Shannon files. But that's another story that's already been told. So I have my equipment. I have multiple microphones. And, you don't need that much. John, what do you have? You have a pair of headphones and a microphone and a laptop, correct?
And a laptop, and yes. A laptop. Now, I've invested a little bit here. I just invested a little bit of money in having a connection directly to my wireless router or to my router.
Which is preferable, but not necessary.
Yes. Hey, from what Ed says, I sound better, if that's humanly possible.
Well, the signal's clearer. How about that? Does that make you feel better, Pookie?
That makes me feel better.
So, I mean, basically, you can do this with an old telephone headset.
You can.
As long as it plugs into your computer and you can get the sound across and you can hear what's going on. Now, anything you want to add on top of that is entirely up to you. There are ways to bring in phone calls that won't cost you a penny additionally. There's a lot of ways this can be done, and I learned a lot of this just Google's your pal. Google's your friend.
Yes, it is.
And, I mean, yes, we understand we are big-time professional radio, and we do a flawless broadcast every week.
It's exactly what the people are listening are thinking, the exact same thing.
But we're learning. We're learning.
We
and,
are.
And we're trying. And somebody just pulled into my driveway, and I don't know who it is. That's the spectacular studio that we're in. But again, you know, we'd love to have you. If you're interested in this at all, once I get resettled back in new digs, I have a nephew I know who's a communications major. He had his own weekly radio show on his college radio station. And I'm going to see if he wants to if he's interested in doing something. His mother, my sister-in-law, used to host a radio show in New Orleans. She was
really?
Yeah. So I want to talk to her. And see if she wants to. I can't remember the name of her on-air name. It was a cool name. She's a cool lady. I really, really dig her. Deborah, if you're listening, all is forgiven. There was a bit of a blowout last week in the family, and I was the lit match to the fuse. So,
ooh.
Yeah. Everybody's not happy with me right now. So anyway, I mean, it's just all that kind of stuff, and you know, we just want to see people express themselves. This is my shot at being creative, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it, and I'd like other people.
Well, that's just it too. I mean, this has kind of been radio has been one of those things I've always wanted to do ever since I was.
Nobody
was
cares
a kid,
about you
actually.
Right now, John. Nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about you right now. This is all about me.
Oh, I'll let you go ahead and believe
no,
that.
No, I'm sorry. I could. Go ahead.
Yeah, so
go
this
ahead.
Has been kind of a passion for me.
That's it?
Huh?
That's it?
What do you mean? Well, it has. It's.
But you're going to stop right there?
As simple as that. Well, I mean,
we've got a minute of airtime to fill, and that's it?
Well, I mean, I'll try to give you the Reader's Digest version.
Oh, that's right. You don't have the clock in front of you, the official.
I have the clock in my laptop, but
not my clock. Not the clock that's going to signal you out. Not the clock that's going to start playing and say, "See ya." And don't you ever say that on this airways again.
Oh, what's the matter?
That's my thing.
But I had that show in Vegas, but really that was my first real crack at it, other than Blog Talk Radio.
A smashing success, Blog Talk Radio, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I had, at one point in time, I think people care a lot more about politics than they do about taxi drivers, to tell you the truth. But this industry is my passion now. Is it about that time?
Well, that's what the music seems to be saying.
Well, yeah, we know if you hit a button errantly or what the hell you did. So let's go ahead and pack this up, huh?
Oh, don't get me wrong, baby. I don't mean to complain. All right. So, I guess that's it for today.
It is.
Please stop. You talk too much.
Who does this song, anyways?
George Thorogood and the Destroyers.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Shannon, have a good week.
Mr. Van Ness. We'll see you next week.
See ya!
Thanks for listening, folks.